This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with connected age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 81. This episode contains the audio of some reflections on the Christian life, which I spoke about recently at a praise and prayer service at my home congregation of Troy Christian Chapel in Troy, Michigan, in the United States. I hope that the following will be encouraging and helpful. Just really briefly, in terms of coming to faith, I came to faith when I was 28 years old, back in the year 1984. Unlike some people who can give you the day and time in which they came to faith, I can't. And for those of you who know me, I have what my brother-in-law has called a lint trap memory. Little things stick. That didn't stick. I suspect, just in retrospect, the reason it didn't is I may have been tempted to look back at a day and time rather than look at Christ. So the object of my reliance was on him, because I have no idea when this really happened. I know a six-month window. I can tell you that at the end of June of 1984, I was not a believer, and I can tell you that by the time of Christmas, about 6 months later, I was. Think of like driving through a whiteout, which can be a horrifying experience, but you know when you get into it, and you know when you get out of it. But you're not quite sure what happens in between. I had picked up a book on Christian singleness, and I was curious to know how people who are Christian handled this. The author, and again, I don't have the book, and I can't tell you the author's name. And the things that this person wrote has stuck with me till this day. The person wrote about Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 33. In very brief synopsis, it's where the Lord Jesus is reminding us that he takes care of the birds. Not one of them falls to the ground, except he knows about it. And the instruction to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other material things will be given to you. For the first time in my life, I believe that. There weren't fireworks that happened right after that. I know for some people, apparently, that there is, but it wasn't for me. But I can tell you that things started to change. When I take a look at the world around, nothing changed, but everything changed. Try to think of it. Now, the analogy I try to use is try to imagine that you have the use of only one eye for your life. You see everything, but you don't see it three-dimensionally. And then all of a sudden, you have the use of a second eye. And you can see depth. You're seeing the same thing, but you're seeing it differently. And by his grace, that's what I did. Since I came to faith when I was 28, I do have clear memories of what it was like before that, and horrifying difference. I won't go into all that, time doesn't permit. There are a few points of reflection I'd like to give you, things I've been thinking about during this year and in recent times, and what I'm grateful for is that these aren't things that are unique to me and my Christian life. They're for all of us because we're believers in Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So a few things to consider. One of the things that God has been gracious in doing is allowing me to better see his presence among us in this world, among the people with whom I live, our congregation, circumstances at work, just the entire everything of what life is nowadays for me. There is a poem that was written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning back in the 1850s called Aurora Leigh. And she has a quote that I thought really helps encapsulate what I wanted to say here. She wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries and daub their natural faces unaware." I plucked blackberries for a long time in my life. And now, by the grace of God, the burning bush is getting my attention. The things that God is doing among us, in circumstances, all of these things. It's been wonderful. And understanding this is only just a present moment condition. Looking back, for a long time, I used to think that God came alongside me when I came to conversion. I realized that's not the case. By his grace for myself and for every one of us who are believer in Christ, he was there right from the beginning. Jacob, the patriarch, recognized that. He tells his son Joseph in Genesis 48:15, talking about God, and I can say the same thing about him as well, that accompanying presence. "The God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. By his grace, God didn't come alongside me only starting in 1984. From my mother's womb, he was with me and with each one of us, those who call upon the name of Christ. There's also been an appreciation, a deeper appreciation for my fellow travelers on this pilgrimage that the author John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, referred to as the pilgrimage to the celestial city. I am so thankful for those I travel with, for my dear wife, Julie, for my sons, Zach and Thomas, for the wonderful addition to our family last year, Jenna, for several close friends. I don't have many close friends, but the ones I have, I cherish, and I want them to know that. I'm also getting a greater appreciation for those who are I'm traveling with here in this congregation. Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday night by Wednesday night, we're all on our way. Some of us will get to the celestial city sooner than others. When you're 60 years old, you realize you might get there before a number of you will. Some of you might get there before I will. I don't know. God quite literally only knows. But I'm thankful for those who are going along. I'm also thankful for those who've already gone on this pilgrimage and have left travel notes behind in books, in videos, in films, perhaps personal legacies of people you've known. With the interest that I have in history, and a lot of you know that I do have an interest in history, it's more than just history for its sake. I truly believe that for we as believers, the road to the future is paved with the bricks of the past, the ancient stones that are referred to in Jeremiah, those things that don't move. I want to help those in our time, in our generation, to know more about these. I've trolled through a lot of books, a lot of old videos, things of that sort. I've had the opportunity to share them on my podcast and my website, and as time and circumstance permit, I've already begun to share them here at this church with teaching and to continue to do so in the future. So I'm thankful for that opportunity as well. I'm coming to appreciate the love, grace, and glory of God more and more. For a long time in my Christian walk, I thought that the love that God had for me was what I'll call the kind of love that a family has for Weird Uncle Bob. And I've got to explain that one. Not that I have an Uncle Bob as such, but where I'm going with this is every family, when you're having gatherings, you know, graduations, weddings, whatever, it seems like there's always one member of the family who perhaps is kind of off to the side. The reason this person is invited is only because they're family. Not because somebody necessarily wants to have a relationship with them, but because, okay, fine, you're allowed in, you're part of the family. That's kind of what I thought for a long time in my Christian walk. As time has gone by, I've begun to understand and appreciate the love of God, not just in my mind, which is important, but also in my heart as well, to connect the two. It's not just a love that's known, it's a love that's felt. And when you have passages such as Psalm 139 that talks about God being before us, above us, beside us, we awake, he's there. No matter where we go, he's with us. It is extremely personal. I can't see this as a part of, well, I'm just being accepted for the ride. God loves each one of us who are in Christ with a love that we must reflect on to begin to imagine what it's like. I know many of us have felt it. I know it goes deeper even than that. Go to John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, when he says that the love that God the Father shows for us is the same as he shows for his Son. That is life-changing. Change my life. And I pray that it will change yours, and perhaps it already has. So just that love that's there. Becoming more focused on what lies ahead. When you remember that you have fewer years in front of you on this earth than you have behind you, I pray that I and others will become more reflective of what would God have me to do in this stage of my life, in this season of my life. I think of the Philippians passage, Philippians 3:12-14, where, and I will read only part of it, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. That's perfection. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, Christ Jesus. Time has a way of focusing our attention, and I pray that it will, for me and for us, it will remain focused. Lastly, I know that there are people who will compile a bucket list. And I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that. Where I'm going with that is, I think there are times we think we have to squeeze every last thing out of life that we can, and then they'll say, then we've accomplished it. Ask people who have earned $1 million, what's important to them? Earning one more. There's always, it's never enough because it's not in Christ, and the only one who can satisfy. One passage that has been of great comfort to me has been in Psalm 138:8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. For those of us who are in Christ, there's no need to fear that you will miss your purpose in life. Now, you might miss some of the things you think you want to do, but in terms of what he's called you to do, you are not going to miss out. Brothers and sisters, I pray that these things which I've spoken about will encourage you in Christ, whatever age you are. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with you tonight. The Lord bless and keep you all.
Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.